Go.
Yo, what's up, guys? Ash Cash, the financial motivator, and you are now tuned in to the Blowing Bubbles podcast. Guess what, y'all? Stay popping. Let's go.
What's up? What's up? What's popping? Welcome to the Blowing Bubbles podcast. Hello, ladies.
Hey.
Hello. The gang's all here.
Oh my goodness. I am so honored and happy to have you guys here. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Welcome. I don't even know where to start. Oh my goodness. So the Blowing Bubbles podcast, my mission is to help women survive motherhood through sisterhood while finding balance and building legacy. And I thought of nobody better to highlight than my homegirl, CJ, and her amazing daughters. Y'all are out here crushing it. Everything is turning gold. Oh my God.
Thank you so much for inviting us. I was very surprised when you called me and said, can you be on my podcast? I'm like, yeah, okay. But it's all new to me. But the way that you are hyping it up, it sounds so good. And then your name, I love it. Like you said, a stress reliever for you. I'm glad it's working out.
Yes.
Wow. So, you know, my journey is long. It's been long. You've known me from back at home, back in the day. We all went to the same high school. I started doing hair, did that for 20 some years plus, moved to Maryland. Then I became a real estate agent. So now from 2014 till now, a little over 9 years, brought my daughters along with me, and they've actually branched out to do their own things and still exploring different parts of real estate. So I'm very proud of them and what they've accomplished as well. Tatiana is here in Maryland with me. Tyann is doing her thing down in Georgia. So it's just a family thing. We just want to keep it moving and continue to build the empire. And our goal is to create generational wealth.
Wonderful. Now that's the key. It's like, now how deliberate were you with the long-term plan, Navia, when the girls were young? And you do have a son. I don't want to leave him out.
Yeah.
But the girls, how deliberate were you with that long-term plan?
Very deliberate. Even when I was doing hair, probably back in 92, I don't know if you ever remember Carlton Sheets. I started getting a real estate then in my head back in 1992. And then unfortunately, when my sister passed away in 2014, I just kind of came to a crushing halt with hair. Like I couldn't even hold it from you for me. So I said, you know what? This is actually the time for me to start doing my real estate. And I did it. I liked it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start off doing residential. Then pretty soon it's going to be time for me to advance to become an investor. And that's what we're slowly moving to. And I just wish I would hurry up, but it takes time, you know?
Yeah.
The right people, right lenders, all kinds of different things have to be taking place before you can just leap into it. Because you want to be careful about how you're doing things. You don't want to lose money. You're in it to make money.
Yes, absolutely. And I had to take a pause and blow some bubbles with Jackie. Shout out to Jackie.
Rest Jackie ahead. Bruce.
Yeah.
Jackie. So much, man.
I remember learning that.
It's been rough, but we making it.
Yeah.
Together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's important. You used it for fuel and kind of a launch pad to say, listen, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna go. And one of the things that I try to impress upon people, because grief, I call grief the real boogeyman, because it's one of those things you can't really, it's nothing you can see, you can't fight anyone, you can't talk it through with anyone. It's just like, you have to go through that process. And grieving is one of probably the main thing that led me to Blowing Bubbles as a means of coping. Because it's like, what else can you do? You can't do anything but feel what you feel and work your way through it.
Yeah.
So that's
a reliever. I felt that. But when it came to a point that I couldn't do it anymore, I said, oh my God, I gotta find something else. When I'm going here, the kettle is different.
Oh, we got an echo somewhere.
Watsy, is that you?
Mm-mm.
When I'm down here, I'm a totally different person. So that was my stress reliever. And I've even escaped from Maryland to go back home to try to get that same feeling when I felt like I needed an outlet. It worked for 2 weeks, you know? But I got to a point, I'm like, I can't do it. It's too much. Let me just go ahead and focus on what I've been doing. The real estate business picked up for me, and I just never looked back. I said, you know, it's just a thing in the past. Let me just leave it where it is. Although I enjoy it, but I just don't have the time that I used to be able to put into it anymore.
And do you still do hair at all?
No.
Okay.
No, I just do mine. Sometimes I do tots, but that's it. I don't do hair anymore.
That's a beautiful thing when you have such a gift, because, man, you got the gift for sure.
Thank you.
And to be able to walk away from that, that's amazing that you found something else that you love and it takes very good care of you. That's great.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I'm having fun right now. I'm waiting for the next level, though. You know, this is not it.
I know that's right. You know, I'm always looking onward and upward.
That's right.
And so, Ty, you are in hair. You do hair as well, but you are an all-around, I think I put on the flyer, a serial entrepreneur, because you got some stuff going, young lady.
Yeah, I do. Okay, so I stopped doing hair probably now. Maybe it's been like almost 4 years. Probably my son will be four in December, so it's been about 4 years now. I transitioned over into like the finance world. So I started doing credit and, you know what I mean? And learning how to build and stuff like that, really getting myself together on the finance side. And then once I learned how to do that, I kind of transfer what I learned from there over into real estate. I learned how I needed to look to purchase million-dollar properties to the bank, you know, and different stuff like that. And it just really took off. The first house I purchased, Tyson. The first house I purchased was in 2020. I purchased it for $1.7 million. I gave him $270,000 down. The property has then now went up to about $2.7 million in that range. So I have about $1 million in equity right now.
Wait a minute. We're not going to gloss over that. 3 years, you got $1 million in equity?
Yes. In 3 years, I made $1 million and I haven't touched it yet. I actually am just about to access it. So I haven't touched it yet. But yep, I've owned the property. I got an interest rate at like 2.5%, mortgage $6,500. It went up. And now, of course, you know, the mortgage interest rates now are about 7%, 10%. So I got it at a really good rate. I was able to lock it in. And yep, I now am listing the property for $2.7 million.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Get back and watch, Kay. It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna do our fix and flips and everything. It's coming.
I don't want to just sit back and watch. Let me do some media coverage or something.
You can follow us around like the Kardashians.
Nice.
I'm already nice. Chris, so you know I gotta get my 10%
Chris. Come on, you Chris.
That's awesome. And
Tati, though, she's doing what I wanted to do, what I've always wanted to do. She's on the YouTube. She gets paid from you. I'm telling you, business side, my bad. She gets paid from YouTube. She does like new construction. My bad.
So let's get into it. She's sitting there like,
you know, I started with the social media. So like I was more in the like Instagram era, you know what I mean? When stuff like that, Twitter, you know, back social media. My sister, as a real estate agent, she's taking her talents to YouTube, and now she's doing like videos where she's touring her new construction homes and she's selling properties off of the new construction and getting a check from YouTube at the same time.
That's what I'm talking about.
Multiple she things. Got me wanting to do something like that. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into that. Miss Tatiana.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So you are the YouTube real estate queen. Oh my God. So how did you get into that with the tying your real estate business into YouTube? What made you transition to that platform versus Facebook or Instagram?
That's a really good question. So I decided to transition into YouTube when I, you know, struggled on other social media platforms. I struggled on Facebook, I tried Facebook ads, I struggled on Instagram. I just, you know, couldn't find my audience. I've always had a passion for selling new construction once I got my license, because I realized how easy it was to sell a new construction home, but I just couldn't find my audience and I didn't know what platform to target my audience on. I knew that cold calling was not going to do it. I knew that door knocking was not going to do it. So what I really did was I started to invest in courses. I bought various different courses, like $3,000 courses, $5,000 courses, even $7,000 courses to teach me what I know now. And so I decided to then say, you know what? I'm going to take my talents to either Google or YouTube, because I know that these are the top two largest search engines, not social media platforms, but search engines in the world. So I did that. And I said, you know what? I started looking at other people's YouTube videos. They were just doing apartment tours. And I said, oh, if they're getting all these views for just apartment tours, how many views can I get for house tours? And as a realtor, can I get sales from this, right? So that's when I started to dig deeper into YouTube. I started just going out, showcasing new construction. I built websites. I know about email marketing. So I basically aligned all of that. And before you know it, I started generating leads. So I struggled for the first 9 months when I got started. But I would say November of 2020, that's the first month that I generated 30 free leads from YouTube. And ever since then, it has never stopped. I've generated over 3,000 free leads from YouTube in my sleep. Literally, business just keeps coming in. And I have an ISA team now that calls my leads within 5 minutes for me when they opt into my website. So I don't even have to do it. So it's kind of like I'm running a YouTube Zillow.
Ain't that
wow.
You can sell her leads if you want.
I don't run ads either. It's all
just got the whole cheat code.
And you know what? And now I'm selling a course. I'm putting a course together called New Home Domination, where I'm teaching realtors how to master YouTube as well.
Yep. Nice. Okay, so I'm gonna need a text, email, smoke signal, something. As soon as you get that joker done, holla at your girl. I would love to be in that. I'm a realtor, but I'm looking for that transition too. I've been working exclusively with investors for like the last 2 years, and it's serving me well, but it's like, it's starting to feel like work, and it just doesn't feel like where I'm supposed to be or where I'm supposed to go. So I'm definitely intrigued. New construction has always been a passion for me. I'm a carpenter by trade. Nice. I've been building since the 90s. So it makes sense for me. So I would love, love, love to tap in as soon as you have that course ready.
Oh, girl. I got you.
Some clients already in Georgia that took the course.
Okay. Also, it's already available.
So that was my first live session. I'm building the module course now.
Okay.
To sell, okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you all stay tuned.
We all do something in real estate. We all do one thing. My mom started as the realtor, and then my sister ventured off into like the content part of it. So we actually all do it in some way, shape, or form. And then even with my property, like my mom would get my sale or any property that I acquire or anything I try to buy, I call my mom and she's my realtor. She's writing my offers. She's doing all of that, making sure she gets paid. And then so however we can get my sister paid, if she's the referral agent or you know what I mean? Or however.
Absolutely.
So that's what we do. We just keep it all in the group. So whenever I buy, my mom gets paid and, you know, so on and so forth.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes,
I love it.
I love brick.
Yes. And so TJ, do you what is your son? Is he in the business at all?
He refuses to get involved at all. He won't even be an assistant. Can you just get your license so you can show some homes? You don't have to do paperwork, just show the home if they like it, I'll write it. No, Mom, I'm not doing that. So he does what he does. He just graduated from Townsend University.
He graduated from college,
I see he got that degree.
He just graduated from college. He could be helping us in every way, but he's not getting involved with us.
Right. Communication, bachelor's in communication. So he's happy with what he's doing, and he's like, yeah, I'm good. I ain't doing all of that. Well, when we talk about how much you get from time to time, what? You did what?
How much money did you make off that? I'm like, yeah,
right. So I think in a nick of time, he's gonna come in sooner or later. I think a little bit.
Okay, that's good. But it's important that he loves what he does, and he's still doing his thing. He got that paper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
He's doing his thing for sure. Yeah, there's about to be some serious changes coming up in real estate. So we all going to have to rethink our position and where are we going to be in the next couple of years with this. We really have to advance in our career. We have to advance in our professionalism because sellers, of course, they're going to get wind that they don't want to pay us anymore. You know, people who are working with buyers. So we're going to have to maneuver somehow, some way. And we got a lot of different things to look forward to, but I'm just hoping it's not an epic fail. They actually just ruled in favor of, you know, the people who were suing them from.
And I saw that coming because it's all a big money play. What I see it as is the large iBuyers are kind of strong arm in the industry. And the whole mission is to try to eliminate the need for agents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous. And there's some people who are falling for that because they feel like, oh, I can handle it myself. Or I did all the searching myself. I'm just looking on Zillow and then I'll just go, all I want you to do is open the door. Can't you just let me tour houses? No, baby. There's more to it. And then they call you when they get in some goofy contract that they're stuck in.
Say it.
And so it's very important for people to understand that we are professionals. We go to school for this. We pay money for this. And like Tati said she invested thousands of dollars to learn something that supported her craft. I'm a student of this industry. And so people take that for granted and they don't understand. They want to challenge our commission. No, baby, we work hard for this.
Definitely.
And we earn it. And I don't ever compromise my commission, ever.
Nope.
I tell people, if you can show me your pay stub where you worked 2 weeks and you gave your boss back some of your money, then I will give you some of my commission. Otherwise, it is what it is. But I demonstrate my value. And so the lawsuit, what we're talking about, people who don't know, there's a class action lawsuit where NAR, the National Association of Realtors, was actually sued by Redfin. And it's ridiculous. I don't know why they went specifically after NAR. And, you know, because we're the largest real estate group, maybe. I don't know. But so they're trying to say that there's no need for paying the seller of a home to pay the commission for buyer's agents. Yeah, no. Y'all need us.
But you want to know who's still paying us?
Who's that?
Builders. Builders are still paying our commission. I have not heard of the National Association of Builders cutting back on our commissions.
Bam. And well, that's a new show. But if hopefully that doesn't change too. Once they feel like, you know what, we have agents sitting in the site, we don't need to pay them either. So hopefully that doesn't change.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. But you know what? But I feel like even if that did change, just like the NAR is making changes, this is the time where realtors are going to have to stand out and show their value to their customers.
Definitely.
And if they feel like they can just wave around a license saying, oh, I have a license, I can help you. That's not going to cut it anymore.
It's not going to cut it.
You're going to have to actually show value. My niece is calling me. I'm sorry, y'all. You're going to have to show value. She probably want to play games with me.
That's what we need on here, Nelly.
Well, since she's the face of Maryland Realtor, she told me.
Where's little Nelly at? Third generation ready to take over.
Oh, yes, in many ways.
But I just think we're going to have to pivot. We're going to have to really just, you know, invest in our craft, invest in our skill set, and just be better than the next person, you know, that has a real estate license.
For sure. How what are some things that you do to stand out as an agent? either of you, Tanavia or Tati?
Go ahead. Well, I mean, just YouTube alone, a lot of realtors aren't using that platform to market. They're using Instagram, they're using Facebook, some are even using TikTok. But I've learned that using those platforms, you have to always stay top of mind. You got to post all the time, like almost every day. Because if you post on Instagram or Facebook, eventually that post is going to go away. In the next 24 or 48 hours, it's gone. Right. But on YouTube, there have been people who have reached out to me for home tours I recorded 2 years ago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that evergreen content.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's evergreen content. So it's kind of like you're uploading your own little ads that's always working for you and always getting you views and always getting you leads. So I could stop and take a hiatus right now from you 6 months or a year, knowing I'm always going to be a business coming back in. So that has changed my business. And there's nothing wrong with Instagram. There's nothing wrong with Facebook. I would definitely reach the content and use both if you can. But I would say making either Google your first platform or YouTube to really like help grow your business. I would always do that.
What's that noise, first of all?
That is a weird noise.
Okay. So me, we do the same thing. You know, I'm on a team, Yolanda Muckle team here in Maryland, and we also have a YouTube channel. We started a while after Tatiana, and we've been on for probably maybe 3 years or so on YouTube. And we've gained a lot of different buyers and sellers as well. And I think that's what keeps us up on top. We don't get as many leads as Tatiana because the way that you actually construct your marketing on YouTube and the way that she has everything set up to get leads like that on a regular basis, we get some leads. We have home construction homes as well. So I like to do that. I like to stay on my clients. I don't want them to think that I forgot about them. That's something you have to do. You don't just drop them after transaction and be done and never see them again. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I stay top of mind with my clients as well. And it's been working for me. And that's how you get referrals. This is the type of job where you need to utilize your relationships with all the people that you've had business with so they can keep you in business. You know, those referrals mean a lot. And we've also done a Zillow and paid that. We really didn't get a whole lot out of it. It's word of mouth. It's the relationship. It's your professionalism that's going to make you stand out in the crowd of these realtors.
Right. Okay. I've been testing. That's not. So I put up your websites. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out this sound thing. I don't know what in the world that is.
I thought it was Tyson.
No, I'm trying to get in the camera though. You want to say hi?
I saw Tyson with his
ass. He was a baby last time I saw him.
Yeah, he a mess now.
Yeah.
So this is TJsNewHomes.com and DMDsNewHomes.com for mother and daughter, respectively. We got a bunch of people on Facebook watching. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And I do want to pause for the cause. This episode is brought to you by Runneth Water. Black-owned, 100% Black-owned, from Youngstown. Oh, hi, Tyson.
Hi, Tyson.
Hey.
Baby.
Hi.
Yeah.
That alkaline water.
Love it.
Yes, so yes, there's a lot of activity on Facebook. Thank you. You guys, make sure you give me a share. If you have a comment, I won't see it unless you are giving StreamYard permission. All right. So what, Tanavia, what is next for you to, what do you need to do or what do you see, how do you see transitioning to the next level that you're aspiring to get to?
Well, it's probably been about 6 years that I've had my business already set up, already knowing what's going to happen in the near future. It's called Diamond and Trust Properties, and it was a property management company. but I wanted to be more on the investor side. That's where I'm going to utilize that business to do my fix and flips. When me and my daughters get together, we get our money up, we start doing this and this and that. I'll have Diamond and Rough Property here in Maryland. Tyann and I already have a business down in Georgia that we're going to do the same thing with. So that's where I see my career shifting to, you know, away from the residential, but more into the investments. And that's where the generational wealth for me is going to be built. And I'm thinking that's exactly where I'm going to find my comfortability level at when we make that transition. I'm not going to completely be done with residential or whatever, but I'm going to start building the next level for my real estate career.
Okay. Okay.
The businesses that we already have established. So yeah, that's soon to come.
Nice. And Tati, do you see shifting, or you like the direction you're going already?
I'm sorry, I was muted. I like the direction I'm going already. I would say my ultimate goal, though, in real estate is to eventually start investing in properties. But my 1 year goal now is to start traveling more, going to different states, recording new construction in different areas, and basically growing like a massive referral business to create passive income. So referring my leads to other agents, making that 25-30% commission from just my YouTube content alone, and then also closing my own deals, focusing on listings and new construction.
Nice. Okay. Well, we can definitely ping pong some referrals. I'm licensed in multiple states, Georgia, Kansas, Missouri, and I'm currently working out. In about 2 weeks, I'll finish Indiana.
Oh, nice.
And Tennessee and Texas are next, and Nevada.
I feel bad when it's time for your classes. That's great.
When I say my brain is fried, oh my gosh.
It should, I'm licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and Georgia.
I'm working on my Florida next, but I was debating between Florida or Texas, but I might just do Florida first and then go out to Texas and get
Texas has more hour requirements. It's a little bit longer.
130 hours. It's 130 hours, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like six modules or something. I'm working on that. I'm wanting to transition doing different, I'm representing investors, like institutional investors, but I'm wanting to do some, I'm not sure what direction to go into next. I am, though, launching my real estate academy. I would love, Tati, maybe we can tag team and you have tie and drop. Yes, maybe we can tag team and you can I can license your course maybe.
Oh girl, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because one thing they don't teach people in real estate is how to actually market to get business. They teach you how to get your license,
how to not go to jail. That's it.
How to not go to jail, right? To stay in business. And there's such a huge percentage of real estate agents that drop out of the business as soon as they get their license. In the first year, they're done because they see how hard it is to get business. And they don't want a cold call. They don't want a door knock, right? So if they actually have a marketing system that's teaching them how to generate leads, it's a wrap.
That's game changing right there. And it is also... very, very difficult for people to get it through their heads that we actually work. Like, it may not be physical work, but we spend money to do this. And if you just get your license, you're just going to be spending money. You got monthly fees to pay for the MLS. You got to pay for that super access. You have to pay E&O insurance. Yes, we have to have insurance in case we tell somebody something crazy.
A realtor.
And don't be a realtor now. That's a whole nother set of dues. So we pay fees to belong to this industry. And it is very expensive. If you just want to flip and some people are wholesaling, you don't need a license for that. We can assist you already.
Yeah, pretty soon they will need a license. Things are changing with the wholesalers too.
Yeah, and a lot of sellers don't accept assigned contracts. If you're not the end buyer, they're not. They got hit to that game years ago.
So mm-hmm. the wholesaling market has even changed. You know, 10 years ago when every other house was foreclosed, you could kind of do some things, but now it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you are actually, as a wholesaler, you are doing the job of an agent. So you should have a license.
They should have
You're
one.
You're just getting paid kind of on the side, but you facilitated a real estate transaction.
Sometimes they get paid more than a realtor. Mm.
Yes.
Yes, being yes. the third person.
Most of the time they do.
mm-hmm. When you see yes. that check, like I did a deal like that and I didn't realize that they were going to flip flop on me. You know,
I thought I was selling they were assigning it.
Yep. I thought I was selling to an investor. I did know that part, but here it was. He was selling it to someone else. So there was actually three transactions going on that I found out. And then they put the house that they bought from me back on the market, fixed it up, and of course, sold it for way more than what we actually listed for. Talked us down to it. And fortunately, it worked in their favor. And my client was motivated. She just needed to go. She was like, Tanavia, I'll take it. I said, now you know they're going to bring people in here to look at the house to see if they want to buy it. She said she didn't care. So sold it. They put a $70,000 price tag higher than what she actually sold it for, and it was what it was, you know, and that's what happens, you know.
Yeah.
People need to be informed of that. Some people get upset. Well, goodness gracious, if I'd have known that, I could have did it myself. But a lot of people don't have that money to invest in that property to bring it up to par like the comps, you know. If you don't have the money, you can't do the update. So somebody else got that money. They're going to come right on in there and do what you wanted to do and get the top dollar. So it is what it is. Yeah. It's real estate.
Yes. Now, do you do any wholesaling yourself? Have either of you done wholesaling?
Mm-hmm. No, I've never done it. Never done it. I thought about it a while ago, but the thing is, I don't want to be misrepresenting myself. You know what I mean? Because that's what it is. You're going to the seller and you're saying, I'm going to buy your house for who knows how much money. And if they agree to say $220,000, I go out and find somebody who's going to buy for $250,000 or $60,000. Like, I'm misrepresenting myself because I'm not the buyer. Right. And they think that I'm the buyer. And I just feel altogether that right there is wrong. You know,
and I want people out here to really understand what she just said. That is absolutely what happens. People, the wholesale game, you're basically pulling the bait and switch.
Mm-hmm.
I come to you and say, I want to buy your house, and you and I agree to a price. I get you under contract. Then I go and turn around and find somebody who has the cash, and I sell them my contract basically for a lot more money. So if I have you under contract for $250,000 and then I turn around and sell this contract for $275,000. That's $25,000 more that you could have gotten if you had known, you know, that somebody would pay $275,000. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people really stop accepting those contracts. And I've seen deals where they get to the closing table and the seller won't sign. They're like, I didn't agree to sell to that person. And the whole thing falls apart. So, yeah, my buyers don't deal with assignees and assigned contracts unless the seller, the original owner, is in the transaction and they agree that they know what it is. Mm-hmm. And so that way there's full disclosure.
Well, in Georgia on the contract, there is a box that says that. Also here in DC too. So you have to let them know if it's going to be assigned or not. I was actually surprised when I saw that in Georgia. I'm like, wow, you can just go ahead and mark it. I guess it's so common down there. Uh-huh. And then in DC as well, I noticed that it's on their contract, but it's not on the Maryland contract. You have to have a separate addendum stating what it is, or that person who's actually going to sign the contract, they have their own contract. So they figure it out. There is a way, but just don't want the buyers to not know what's going on with their home. I feel very uncomfortable with that. My business partner, her and I have talked about it. She's very uncomfortable with it too. So of course, that's just a part of real estate that I will never be involved in.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Now I want to shift a little bit. When you're having the wild, crazy days, what are some of the things that you do to unwind and relax?
Hit my head against the wall. for everything that I've been through today, it doesn't even touch that. Like, it's hard. I have to come home. I tell my partner what I've done and how my day went. Babe, you know, we do this all the time. You know, we talk about this like every 3 or 4 months because you're up and then you're down. You know, you just really got to woosah. I turn my phone off. I just start turning my phone off all this time, you know, and my girls are big. My son is, they're grown, but I never felt comfortable doing that. But now for peace of mind, I have to turn it off. I go upstairs, I go to bed, I go to sleep, and I try to. But when you're in real estate, your mind just doesn't stop because there's always something you have to do. Did I do that today? And I find it, you know, hard to sleep from time to time. So I vacation.
That emptiness is beautiful, though, isn't it?
I came from Jamaica. We just went to Las Vegas. Not too long ago, I went to Hawaii. Like, I've been to Dubai. So you just got to get away. You got to relieve that stress sometimes, because if you don't, you know, you'd be in a hospital, end up having a heart attack over a deal that didn't go through. Mm-hmm. So leave your job where it is. And when you walk in the door, hopefully you don't have anything to do and you have your personal life with your family. And that's, I think that's what's going to keep you going.
Nice.
What about you? The world is not fun all the time.
So, for me, I just try my best to not get emotionally attached to it because it is a business and you have to think of it as that, and just try not to get emotionally involved. I know it's hard, especially when money is involved, right? Or if that's your next paycheck that we've been counting on and the deal did not close. It's sometimes hard to detach from that. But you just have to woosah. You just have to just think about the next. I've had my stressful moments where I was up and I was down and I'm just like, what do I do next? And now you're frantically applying for jobs that you know you won't want as soon as you get that next $20,000 check that comes in. Right now you're like, why did I do this? Right. So it's really just all about knowing how to manage your money properly, knowing how to keep yourself afloat as an entrepreneur, knowing how to invest it properly. So I'm learning how to start investing my commissions into a trust account, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So we gotta make sure we're putting it into the right account, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how you do it. It's just really educating yourself to grow and build that wealth, you know? And once we actually learn these things and not just go out and closing a deal and just spending the money on whatever, then we live a more sustainable real estate business.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
She dropped some bars there.
That's the truth. Yeah.
Everybody's not on top of that trust game.
Like, oh, I went out to a bar today. I had me a nice little drink for happy hour. And I was just, you know, getting into these conversations. A random person at the bar. Sometimes you just go to the right places, right? And you have these powerful conversations. And that was the conversation today, is building your trust account and getting started with that, you know? And I'm just like, oh my God, like, this is a blessing. You know, this is a blessing.
I'm getting ready to start doing workshops for trusts, for building trust and setting up your estates.
Yes.
To make sure I want people to understand how to play the long game. Especially, yes. I mean, and you don't even have to have a lot of money to get started, but you know, you have to get started.
Yes.
I want my grandbabies to be trust fund babies.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about, because this job doesn't come with Social Security. We don't have
any
benefits. You know, we have to pay into all of that stuff, and it's tough. You know, they think real estate agents make all this type of money, but the fact is, we wait so long to get a check. So when we get that check, we've paid bills, and it's just like we got to keep catching up. So, and then you got to pay taxes on the money that you use to catch up, and it you know, it's tough.
Absolutely.
It's like a rat. You're just running around in a circle. So you got to have some type of outlet. So what Tati's saying, as far as the trust and different things like that, you got to put that money up for a rainy day. You got to keep it over here so it can grow for you. Because if you keep doing this thing on the wheel, you don't have anything. You know, you're not going to have anything. You're just working from day to day, just like anybody else, paycheck to paycheck.
Somebody said on YouTube, are you taking questions? Absolutely. If you have a question, please. We got a wealth of knowledge here. What is your question? I never get audience engagement. So you guys are good luck for me.
Oh, wow.
People almost never ask questions. So that is a good thing.
But I definitely want to make sure that people know that real estate as a business is a dog eat dog world. We eat what we kill. We mm-hmm. do not get a, there's no, it's not a job. It's a business. Mm-hmm. And 100% commission. And you can show somebody 30 homes and then they send you a text in the middle of the night. I'm getting ready to sign a new lease.
Girl, okay. That just happened to me today. A lady just got approved up to $5,000. Now she's doing a lease with option of purchase. So I still do the rent to own things as well. Okay. We all happy. I'm going to find you a nice house, girl. She's sending me houses. I'm sending her houses. Next thing you know, well, Tanavy, I didn't like the list of homes that you sent, so I'm just about to sign this lease so I can rent a home. You what? I've been the last 5 days not sleeping, and you just want to rent because you didn't find anything? Like, I need a house right now, so this is what I got to do. And it's frustrating because, you know, you think, like, this is something that I'm going to have. This is income that I need, and all of a sudden they fall out in a rental.
Yeah, they're emotional. Okay, the question on YouTube is, any advice for first-time home buyers that's a teacher?
As a teacher?
She's a teacher.
Oh, well, depending on what state she's in, she's probably going to be able to get some benefits.
Yeah, there's some grants for teachers, heroes, and there's all kind of money for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first-time home buyers. Yes, you have the advantage being a first-time home buyer. You get tax, you know, it helps you as far as your taxes and things like that, which you pay at the table. So you get that incentive, different programs for first-time home buyer. Grant assistance is out there for anybody who qualifies for it. And then even with Tati, with new construction, I mean, they have incentives as well, and that's for everybody. So, yeah, you want to find out what incentives your lender's offering, because there are first-time home buyer programs where you can save up to like $25,000.
Yes.
Transaction. And that's what you want to do. You want to save as much as you possibly can. So yeah, there are great benefits for being a first-time home buyer. Todd, did you want to add on to that?
Mm-mm. You pretty much covered it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question coming on YouTube. What's the most rewarding part of your business and the most challenging? What's the most rewarding?
Okay. The most rewarding and the most challenging. Getting a commission is the most rewarding. I'm playing. No, the most, listen, that is the most rewarding. You want to keep it real. That is the most rewarding, but the most rewarding, honestly, for me is not only getting a commission, but also seeing my clients happy, right? Mm-hmm. Seeing them mm-hmm. on settlement day, wave their keys, mm-hmm. you know, new homeowners, or they're on their second or third purchase. So I would find that rewarding because you're helping families build wealth. And mm-hmm. so that's what I find rewarding. And then you also get to cash in on a big commission check afterwards. That part. So that's rewarding. The most challenging part about it is that you are going to deal with clients who are very indecisive. You may deal with divorce listings, right? Where people can't see eye to eye. That's a different beast right there in itself.
Mm-hmm. You are working I scored off divorce. I don't do divorce.
Oh, you got to take a certain type of realtor, and I am not that realtor at
me,
all.
I'm doing that right now, and it is tough.
I can't do it. I personally can't.
I had a soon-to-be ex-wife try to run up on me, and TJ, you know me.
What?
Whoa.
What?
Wow. Yeah, I can't do it. It's not for me. Or you just have clients who just, you know, you'll take them out and you'll show them 15, 20 different homes. And like you said earlier, they'll sign a lease to renew, or they just change their mind, or they say they get cold feet right before settlement day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is the resale market. I personally don't deal with too much of that on the new construction side because it's new construction and a lot of them are very serious and they put down hefty deposits. So it's rare that they just walk away. They're putting down like $10,000 and $20,000, $30,000 EMDs. They're not just walking away from that and getting cold feet. But if you're putting down a $2,000 or $5,000 EMD,
they don't care.
No, they don't really care. So that's another thing I love about new construction is because it's more guaranteed that they're going to close.
Mm-hmm. Everything yeah. she said, I've experienced being on the resale side yeah. of, as a real estate agent, because you do have those people. And like I said, the rat race going in a circle. It took me all this time to get you pre-approved. Then we went out and we found a home that might have taken two months. Then it's another 30 days to close. Cause really one client, you're looking at like 60 to 90 days before Absolutely. You get to the settlement table. It just doesn't happen overnight. It's not like that. And then you get out there and you find a house and you're in a contract. And then 2 weeks later, like Todd said, buyer's remorse. Oh, I thought I only needed this much money, so now I can't buy the home. And then you're like starting right back over again. So 90 days just lost.
Yeah, I had somebody under contract ready to close, and they co-signed for a car for their son.
That's the worst, like they tell us. When you're under contract, if you can't eat it, don't buy it. Do not
change a financial coma. That's what I tell my people. Don't order anything. Don't have to pay. Don't.
And so they probably thought it was okay to co-sign because it was not technically in their name, but they co-signed on it.
So
you're still taking on that debt.
Yeah, sure did. Now your debt to income ratio just went up $30,000, and now you no longer qualify.
Can't get that home. Yes.
Yes, guys.
My most rewarding thing, I was blessed to work with my son. I sold his house, listed his house, and then sold him what's probably his forever house. So that was like,
Amen. Nice.
That was the best. And I got to be a little bit, you know, aggressive with the listing agent, because I disclosed in the contract, you know, the mother of the buyer. Man, this cat tried to jack me. Oh, you got to put this much more earnest money. And I said, bro, I did tell you that's my son, right? We're not doing
that. You have to disclose that? You're the mother of the...
You have to disclose that there's a relationship, material disclosure back.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. I'm about to do the same thing in April. My son's buying his first house. So I'm looking forward to that. Yep. Got him on.
Is it true that if a home is in foreclosure, you can pay the taxes? No, that is. So there's two different things. Foreclosure, the typical foreclosure is when the bank accelerates the loan. That's the phrase, the legal phrase that they use. They accelerate the loan because you have not been making the payment. And the bank is going to re-secure their interest in that loan by taking back the house. That is a traditional foreclosure. A tax lien sale is when the county is going to assert their police power. Listen to me being technical.
Right.
They're going to, it's called police power. They're going to assert their authority and reclaim the taxes. Government gets their top, their number one lien position. The mortgage is until you start paying your taxes. So they're two different things. And you can buy a tax property, but you also can inherit that debt that comes with it.
Definitely.
Also, there's a lot of due diligence involved. Don't just go to the county courthouse on the first Tuesday of the month down here in Georgia or wherever it's at in your state. And think you can just go drop some money and you now own that house free and clear. You better do some research. Because you buy the debt that goes with it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You have to do that title search just to be sure. Take the property to the title company that you plan to use. Ask them to do a title search on it before it goes live and at the auction. That way you know what you're getting into.
Right.
If you go into it blindly, ooh-wee.
Right. You just become another lien holder. Somebody could have put their house up for bail for a relative, anything. The relative could have skipped bail. There's some things that won't necessarily show up right away without you doing a proper title search.
Mm-hmm.
So, good question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are two different things. Any other questions you all before we get wrapping this up? This is good. I have gotten four questions now. I love it. I love it.
Oh, that's good. I've had fun.
I did. Yeah, I really had fun.
Really interesting. Yeah, I would like to be on again when we get to our next level as far as diamond in the rough properties and our investments and fix and flips and hold. You know, we're going to do something. We're going to hold as well and just get into bigger and better things. The investment world of real estate is phenomenal. You know, you can actually buy houses, hold them, take some equity out, use that equity, buy your next house. Yes. It can just go on and on and on and on and create that wealth that we've been talking about.
Yeah. I am, and I'm working with investors that buy in multiple, like a lot of different metropolitan areas. So we might be able to do some business together.
Hey, I'm for it. I'm down.
Oh man, well, this has been awesome. I am so honored to have had you all on here. Mothers, listen, you know, Bone Bubbles Podcast, our core audience is mothers. Listen, we didn't really even dig into, you know, Tanavia as a mother, a young mother, you know, any of the struggles that you went through. You want to share any of that to give some mothers some inspiration? What were some of your biggest challenges in pursuing your career before the girls were even older, before they were grown? What were some of the things that you had to adversities you had to overcome?
Of the adversities that I had to overcome was basically leaving my hometown that I was born and raised in. Farrell, Pennsylvania. Love it. All my family is there. I started my businesses there when I started to do hair, and to just get up and go and be away from my mother, and my sister was still there at the time. That was one of the hardest things that I had to do. But I also had three children and they were younger, and I knew I wanted a better future for them. So I had to make that move. It hurt me like crazy, but look at the outcome. That's, you know what I'm saying? This is what what I needed to create. I wanted my kids to see that there were more opportunities and better opportunities outside of where I lived and what we had. Not saying my town is bad, but you know I'm saying? It's just, it wasn't elevated enough. You know what I mean?
Some of us just can't stay there. Like I knew when I was like, real little that I wanted to go away.
Yeah, I was ready to go after high school, but I still stuck out for whatever reason. I was ready to go to California with my dad. It didn't work out. So I'm like, okay, I'm here for a reason. So I started to do my cosmetology thing. I filled it in. You know, I got married. I had three kids. One thing led to the next. Here I am in Maryland. And then from there, we've all just been like branches on a tree. So we've all just grown out in different areas and aspects and been able to explore. My kids are adults now, so they're doing their own thing. And that's what I wanted. And that's what came true. And I'm so blessed and happy for all of them.
Yes. And that's really the piece of inspiration that I was hoping you would throw out there. Mm-hmm. We are from a very small town. I'm talking about like 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. So being from a very small town and having very big dreams, mm-hmm. you have to have that faith the size of a mustard seed. You have to be willing to step out on that faith and take a chance. Did you have any family or a support system in DC when you left?
No.
See?
No.
That is life-changing, and that is so inspirational to know. I went to Vegas, so I get it. You know, it was like my kids were, they kept having friends that were getting killed. I just can't sit here and wait for the police to knock on my door.
I know.
I had to go. I just had to go. Yeah. And
I had a son growing up as well, and I didn't want him to be in that environment. You know, I didn't want my girls getting pregnant at young ages and not being able to take care of their kids. And I said, I got to shake this off. We just got to make this move. And it was tough for all of us. Tati, she was a junior in high school. So she came up here. She didn't even graduate with any of the people that she knew. So that was tough for her. And I was like, well, you can stay until you graduate. She's like, no, mom, I'm coming. So that alone right there was tough. She knew two people that she graduated with.
And Tati, what was that transition like for you leaving Shenango Valley and going to a big city at, you know, such a pivotal time in your adolescence?
I hated it. Did not like it at all. Did not like it. I had a boyfriend at that time as well that was living in Ohio. Didn't want to leave him. So it was hard making friends as well. So it was very challenging. I mean, like, it was the summer I didn't know what to do. I'm just basically by myself. So it was very hard. Then when I started school, it was just hard to make friends. So, but over time, as I got older, I started to meet new people, do more things. I started to experience the city, started to really like it. And then when you start making money with that, it's like, I can do this and go there and pay for that. Like, I mean, it's like this. It's just now I look at it as a 31-year-old woman, and I'm just like, I'm so glad I moved here. You know, I am so glad.
Last week, they said, "Mom, thank you for bringing me here."
Well, I just love it. I'm just like so happy, and I feel like if I were to move anywhere else, it would probably be to another big city, because I just love it. I love the opportunities. I love that what I'm doing on YouTube, I can take anywhere and make money as long as I get my license. So if I was living in PA, I don't think I would be having, I wouldn't have had that vision at all. I wouldn't have had that vision at all. So very, very happy about that.
That is good. I love to hear that. I love it. I didn't, when my mother moved to Ohio, I hated it. So I can relate on that side. But then also as a mother, I can relate to, you know, having that sense of urgency to show my children something different, something better and bigger. Mm-hmm. And I don't regret a split second of it. Well, yeah. I am so honored that you all came on. We are going to wrap it up. Any final words that you want to impart on our audience?
Yes. I would say this, if you are living in a small town and you have bigger dreams, bigger goals, bigger aspirations, and you just don't think that you can fulfill that in your small town, move. Do not have any second thoughts about it. Pack your bags and leave ASAP. Leave right now. I would just say that because you are not going to, like, I mean, the opportunities in a bigger city is just endless for you. So I would say that. That's my final words for this podcast. And thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I got a "You ladies are awesome" comment on Facebook.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, on YouTube.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for having me and my daughters. This really, really felt good to see all different aspects of real estate and how they've matured as women and how proud I am as being their mom. I mean, it makes me so grateful, and I just wish you all the success in the world in your endeavors and what you plan to do with real estate and beyond. Yes. And your podcast. Hope it gets more and more popular because I'm going to push it, and I want to come on again. I didn't know what to say.
Anytime
I didn't know
how you want.
But I feel so comfortable. I love it. I appreciate the people that have been watching on Facebook and Instagram and asking questions. This is a great exposure. So keep doing your thing.
Empower black women.
I love it. Such an inspiration. So thank you all for watching and hope to see you all again soon.
You will. All right, y'all. You know how we sign off here. Stay popping.
Popping. I don't have, next time I'll have my bubbles with me. All right. See you soon.